So we make no promise, but however, I think that we read might fit in. Romans, the Epistle to the Romans. We're glad to see you all this afternoon. Most of you know me and some of you don't, so Mr. Hill will be telling you who I am and what I think. You'll judge before I get sick of me down in the house. You know me, don't you? Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And for the little while or a longer time that I'm up here, I will base my remarks on that, because that's what's coming before. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have been hearing about so many things that are against us, and yet our brother ended up by telling us that God was for us. How true that is. So, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm sure that you remember that much anyway, but I want to look at some in the Bible that God was for. And I'll remind you of them. I hope you're reading your Bibles. If you would look at Genesis chapter 39, you will see three times over in that chapter that it says of Joseph, God was with him. So just think of that man for a little while. I don't suppose this was written and he wouldn't have known it. However, remember, first of all, his brethren were against him. Now that's something if you have brethren against you. There were so much against him that, of course, they intended to get rid of him, and as you know, they put him in a pit, and finally, they sold him. However, when he was down in there, if you could have said to him, and he had known this, you could have said, now, God before you, who can do against you? Would that have encouraged him very much? Well, I don't know. However, the next scene you find, where I quoted in, from Genesis 39 is, he's now down in Egypt. And some things that we heard about this morning ring true to that. The heart of man hasn't changed any, and so he's being enticed by a sinful woman of that very kind. And because of that, and her lies, and her schemes, now, not only is he in a pit, but he's in jail. So he's what you call now a deer burn, because although he didn't fly into it, mind you, he was put there. However, he's in jail now, and supposing you could go to him and say, well, that's all right, now you'll get out of the other place, and you'll get out of this all right. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm sure that some of us would say, well, everything seems to be against me. I tried to do my best for my master, and because of his miserable wife. Now, all wives are not miserable. However, she was, and because of her lies, look at where I am now. However, he began rising up until they recognized there's something about this man, and God was with him in the prison even. But later on, what do you find, that man? He's mixed with Pharaoh. Now I try to imagine in my mind whatever happened to that woman, or whatever happened to the husband, the captain. Nothing is ever said, so I suppose that's the grace of God. But I wondered now when he was being driven through the city and everybody was bowing their knees to Joseph, because he's next to Pharaoh. I wonder if he drew back the curtains and peeped out and thought, what'll happen to me? As far as we know, nothing did happen, so it must be the grace of God shining out in that portion. However, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I was thinking of this when our brother Hugh asked us to pray for those that are passing through hard times. Well, I know what, I guess you're old enough to remember 39 and 29 and 28, and so are I. And there were hard times, all right. But I'm here! And we passed through it. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I'm not saying anything about Mr. McCloud, because he's ahead of me. You pass through, sure, you wouldn't be here. If God be for us, who can be against us? Government can't be against your brother. If God is for you. Your children can't be against you if God is for you. Nobody can be against you if God is for you. And that's the proof that we're getting in many of these illustrations throughout the whole scriptures. But we must hurry along. Well, I say we must. I'm used to preaching alone in a preach, and I can take my time, but with all this battery of teachers here this afternoon, I suppose I'll have to consider them. However, think of David for a little while. I think we better turn to a scripture about David. You can hold your finger here. 1 Samuel. Just as an illustration, 1 Samuel chapter 30. That's a long book. Oh, well, I didn't miss. Okay, where is it? Pardon? Where he went? They couldn't weep anymore? Okay. Yeah. That's Ziklag. Yeah. Yeah, where is it? What is it? Oh, well, that must be what is there. Thanks. Well, like the other man said, you see, I need help. All right. I did get it. You know what? I turned Satan to him. I'll stop and tell you this much. I have trifocals. Not just trifocals, but I get looking through the wrong focal, and I get focaled up. However, chapter 30 is right. Thanks for that, Brother Walker. And now, shall we read the verse or two? Yeah, that's right. You got it all. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, and so on. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in his law. And David said, and so on. And now, verse 8, he's getting a message from the Lord. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and withal, without fail, recover all. Look at verse 18. And girded, recovered all. And verse 19 at the end of it, and David recovered all. Well, think for a little moment or two then what that must have been like at first of all, when they wept until they had no more power to eat. Now that must have been a lot of weeping. All right. But why not? They'd come back to Ziklag and all there is ashes. Now, if this had been written at that time in Romans 9, 8, where I'm quoting from, and you could have gone up to David and said, don't worry about them stoning you. When you hear your own brother is going to fire a stone at you, that makes you think. And no wonder. He had no one else to turn to at this time, and that's why I wanted to get to that verse, and may that help from Mr. Walter Dustin, in case you never heard of him. And there you are. If God be for us, who can be against us? When God was with the man. And we read those many times, and David recovered all. And David recovered all. And so, does it seem like you've lost everything? And you know, why, surely you haven't gone down as far as that yet. But I remember when they did, that's why I referred to Mr. Hill here. We remember that when banks closed like that, and they didn't have the securities then that they have now, nor the side effects, nor the benefits, or anything else. Men, and some of them millionaires too, were reduced to poverty overnight. When Wall Street crashed, and I was living in those days, and I didn't have any investments there anyhow, so I didn't have to worry about that one. However, many others did. But if God be for us, I want the younger people to get hold of this. I've got to forget about the older one. If God be for us, who can be against it? You can't be against God's people if God is for us. You can't be against the brother that God is for. You can't be against the sister that God is for. Oh, it may not seem very bright sometimes, and I'm sure it didn't for Joseph, and I'm sure it didn't for David here, where I read, but if God be for us, who can be against it? Can anybody? No! The power of God in heaven is for us when he's with us. Cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Whereof all is he to be accounted of. And so, look beyond your troubles. Look beyond your discouragement. Look heavenward. And God is for. Thank God. He's for his own people. Well, what about Jeremiah? Maybe we won't turn good. I'm hoping that you Bible students know. And I'm sure you do. Jeremiah, that prophet, I'll not tell you anything about him. I'll leave that to Mr. McLeod to do, because he has the figures and the dates and the ages. If I started, I'd be stumbling along, I'm sure. I'm not good at that. However, the poor man, everything seemed to be against him. The powers were against him, and the king was against him, and everything else, and now he's put down into a pit. And he's sinking, sinking, sinking. And now you've had, now if you could have gone there and hollered down in that pit and said, oh, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. God is with you. What would he be thinking? I don't know. One thing he's thinking is he's going to die in that place because he said so. And he would too. He was stuck until that had been the end. But God was with him. God stirred up an Ethiopian. He got other men. And they made their ropes out of old rags. I used to wonder why they had these old rags, but that was to put under his ass. And then they hauled him up. My, wouldn't he be a different kind of a man when he got up? You know, after every victory that you see from the Lord, it just makes you that stronger. I was telling a couple of Christians the other night, I can go back and tell this story, I guess, because it's many years ago, long before any of you were born. I never wrote any missionary story or report. Had a magazine that sent me a check one time, and along with it, in order to enjoy the check, I'd have to send in a report of what I was doing. But I sent it back with a verse. The Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. So he sent it back to me. However, what I'm going to tell you about was, I needed $2. That's all. We back in long days ago. And who am I going to look to? Why, well, I could go to the government, but I wouldn't do that. But I did go to a government. I went to the government above. And in my simplicity, I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, you know that I've got this all right, but in order to pay this, I need $2 more. Saw this little prayer, it was shorter than some of our brethren have been here in their public prayers, I can tell you. Oh, you criticizing us, you say? Sometimes you're not too long when you're in a need like that. And I got up from praying, and I happened to look out the window, and I saw a sister coming along, and I'm going to encourage you, sisters. I saw a sister coming along, and I thought to myself, oh, my wife is at home, and I can't let her in. And she rang the bell, and I thought, well, I can't let her in. Oh, I thought, I'm acting the hypocrite. I'll just go down. We're on the 7th floor of an apartment. I'll go down and tell her that my wife isn't home yet. By the time I got down there, I thought she'd gone way up the street, and I thought to myself, well, now that's kind of bad. I'd have to make that right somehow. And just as though someone spoke to me, it was as clear as a voice. Look in the mailbox. Wasn't anybody there? And I turned around and I looked in the mailbox. And you'll see what I'm going to tell you, I'm sure. There was an envelope there with no note on it or anything else on there, $2 note. The very thing I'd asked God for. I went up those stairs, see the time after that. I thought to myself, I could ask for a word for reward for anything. He'd just give it to me. And he's given me an awful lot since, too. However, my wife did come in. I said, well, it's all settled. Everything's fine. How's that? Well, look at this. He shook that thing out. There it is. It's bad before it. Who can be against it? Brothers and sisters, look beyond your brothers. Look beyond the government. Look beyond your employer. Look to Him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? There's not a power on earth that can stop God's work. And let me tell you this. I thought that sister didn't want me to know. Therefore, I'll not tell her. She's gone to heaven. And I never told her. She'll get her reward in that coming day. I tell you that. She was in touch with heaven, and God touched her. And I'll tell you another thing. I think it was the first and only time she ever had any danger, didn't she? Think of that. That shows me this. That girl was in touch with heaven that daytime, and as I was praying, God sent her along. Oh, brethren and sisters, is nothing like it. To know God, and to enjoy Him, and to get a word from Him. And this word, I hope, is for somebody this afternoon. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, I know you. It seems bad for time, and it seemed bad for Jeremiah, but what happened when the armies came in and the city was burned, Jeremiah was scared. Because God was with him, and God had been with him. And his enemies, that's something else. Well, we want to think of some others too. What about those three Hebrew servants? Now that's in the book of Daniel, for those of you that read your Bibles. And I hope that you're all reading your Bibles. All of you young folk. You know, I was surprised to meet somebody saved nearly 20 years and has never read the Bible through. I could hardly believe it. Think of that. I used to read 10 chapters a day when I was first saved. I've read my Bible through longer than any of you have been on this earth. More time. Well, you didn't know pretty good, but I had to have help. You see? There's one thing it does for you, it's just like pouring water through a sieve. Maybe I'm the sieve, all right, but it helps to keep it clean. So just keep right on reading, brother and sister. And so, we want to refer to Daniel for a little while, and also those three Hebrew servants. I'm thinking of Daniel, now whether you men will agree with me or not, I think he was about 18 years old. Is that right, Mr. McLeod? Is that right, Mr. Oliver? Is that right, Mr. Crawford, editor of magazine? Well, now there, you see, I've created something for you to look up, haven't I? Well, I think he was about 18 at this time. And so, he purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled with the king's name. What I see in that is teenagers can purpose in their heart that they're going to live for God in a godless world that we were hearing about this morning, and that was godly enough at that very time. And the three Hebrew servants, they were Daniel's friends, and they weren't much older, if any, and I don't think they were. I think they were four teenagers that purposed in their hearts to live for God in spite of the king's commandment. Showing me this, that a teenager and purpose in their heart not to be defiled in high school, not to be defiled in university, and so on, that they can have a purpose of heart to go on for the Lord. I say this because I agree with all I've heard 100%. I know a little bit of what it's like. Some of you know my daughter. She went to, supposed to be one of the best universities in Ontario, and that's the theme. She had made it more than one degree. But I'm glad to be able to say this. She purposed in her heart that she wouldn't do a whole lot of things that others did. And I told them in another case, but I'm going to tell you this. They were brought up to do this very thing on Saturday night. The books were closed. Homework! And not to be opened until Monday. Not on the Lord's Day! What about you folks going to high school? Do you do your homework on the Lord's Day? Them that honor me, I will honor, says God. And I've known some that have honored God in university. And they did just what I'm telling you as well, and they come out on top. And others did their homework on the Lord's Day. Daniel purposed in his heart and so did his friends, and now there comes a time when this king is going to have everything his own way as he thinks. So he has his furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was before ever had been exposed. Why? Because everybody was supposed to bow down to this image that he'd made. But they said, we're not careful. We are not going to bow down to that image. Well, if you don't, you'll be put in that fiery furnace. Well, they said, we're not going to bow down to it. See, I don't think that that started just all at once. I believe these men have been living for God right along. And it was just the same as eating day after day. And so, it's a thing with them. It's a habit of their life. Hitting bad perfect. Which they did. All right. This monarch says in his day then, you'll either bow down or you'll go into that furnace. Well, they said, we're not going to bow down to you. And we're not going to bow down to that image. And so it was heated 7 times hotter than before. The persons that put them in, they were slain. And my, that monarch looked in there. Why, says I, thought they put in 3. There's one walking in there. You wouldn't believe it, would you? They were having a nice conversation. Without hot furnace. I know they were. Why? Because the Bible says they came out and there wasn't even a smell of smoke about their garments. You wouldn't have even known they were going through that trial. Why, God was for us. And if God before us, who can be against us? No, I know I'm not telling you all this for a reason, but I walked through a city one time from clear across the whole city. Well, I'm driving a Mazda. Don't think I need anything, because I don't. 929, dude. 1 of the top 10. $41,000 in chemicals. So don't think I'm telling you this for that. However, this is a time when I walked across that city. And as I did, my fingers were cold too. And I thought to myself about the 3 evil servants. And there wasn't even the smallest smoke when they came out. And I thought, well, Lord, give me grace. And they'll never know that I'm walking all the way across this city. And when I got there, I shook my overcoat to get the snowing. And I walked in and what?
Glad to see you. How are you anyway? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank the Lord.
So I went down and I thought,
had you arrived in their cars, and they'll say, well, how's it? Where's your car? Well, you hit it. Not gonna make it go. And I thought, surely they'll say, well, we'll take it back. You know what they did? They drove right by. So I, in those days, they had the trolley cars and they had buses now. So I went down, I leaned against the post, and so I was looking for the next one. Some. And they went right by.
Yeah, they were glad to see me.
They went, here comes one. Well, here's
some more Christians. They wanted to see me.
They did too. That was it. Then I started back again. All the way across the city again. All the way back. Did it kill me? Well, it wouldn't be you if it did. Not at all. I tell you what, I enjoyed it. Why? I began thinking about these Hebrew servants. And I thought, well, if God is for them, he's with me too. And everything is going to turn out all right, and it did! Everything came out. It was just a test, that's all. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope you'll grasp it this afternoon. If God is testing you, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And as he does, after it's over with, you'll sentiment crazy.
Well, time for me to quit, Orlando.
You must say something, didn't you?